Infertility is full of turmoil, but that turmoil can be overcome. Hope can be found in it. And today we're talking with a couple who is now on the other side. I am talking about Ben and Nosley Coyle. They're my guests today for the Embryo Adoption Podcast. And not only are they guests, but so is their NEDC embryo adoption son, Kavi, who's just 5.5 months old. So it's great to have the three of them here. I'm Mark Mellinger, the host of the podcast. I'm the marketing and development director for the National Embryo Donation Center. And you can find out more about us by going to embryodonation.org. So glad to have Kavi along as well as you two. And so I mentioned at the outset, yeah, infertility generally brings turmoil for everybody. I don't think we've talked a lot when the three of us have talked in the past about your own story and your own infertility journey. Can you kind of share with me how your relationship started and then how infertility affected it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it actually started when I was 28. So this is a long time ago. I'm 40 now. So it's been a 12-year journey, at least. You know, it's been crazy. You know, you're waiting for this to happen. It's been like a whole decade of a lot of praying, but I found out that I had endometriosis when I was 28, did 2 laparoscopies. I think one right after the other. One was in the first year and then one right after the next year. And then we were told all kinds of things. I was told to take Lupron, which would, back then it was, you know, it was to stop the period. And then to, you know, there were all these side effects. I just remember that doctor. I was so upset. I was so overwhelmed with the choices. And it just seemed so grim. Like, okay, you can either do this.
And we knew about IVF. We knew about that.
Yeah. They were pushing the IVF. It was always about IVF. No one ever told us that embryo adoption was even an option, which when I think back to it, it's very, very upsetting that ethically they know better. Mm. These doctors know better because they knew this was an option. Yeah. But we're never presented with that. But anyway, so it started there. It came back almost immediately with stage 4 endometriosis. And the grief that comes with that, I think everyone listening in understands that. It's horrible. So we had our own, obviously, as a couple, there were some issues there as well, like as far as feeling that grief. When you're both feeling that grief of not being able to have a child, it just starts to weigh on you.
Yeah.
Really, really starts to weigh on you. And so what happened after that? Now we went to so many doctors, in Chicago area.
This is back in 2015. We moved to Knoxville and it seemed like we had just kind of like made peace with the fact that we weren't going to have children. We were going about our lives basically. And we kind of, Nosley just, she got back into the counseling field, and by word of mouth, a friend of her, a colleague of hers, told us about NEDC, and that's when we found out about you guys. So,
well, that was the first time. Yeah. That was a colleague of mine, yeah. And I don't know how she was really open about it, but she was like, yeah, somehow we got to the topic of kids. She's like, yeah, you know, I've got an 8-year-old. I think it was at the time 8-year-olds, and I've got a 2-year-old twins, and they are not related. Or she said something like that, and I was like, what? You know, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? Like, she's like, they're not, you know, I'm like, okay, so I know about fraternal twins and I know about identical twins. She's like, yeah, no, they are totally separate gene pool and everything. And so she told me a little bit about embryo adoption, but I didn't think I was a good candidate. So it just went over my head. I was like, okay, well, it's not for me probably. And I just left it at that. And then we tried, now this actually was really upsetting because we looked into traditional adoption.
Yeah, that's what we did. We tried the traditional adoption
route. And then we were told that, because most of those agencies do
open
adoptions. And I just knew intuitively, I'm like, I'm not a bad person, but this is not gonna be a good fit. I just can't do it. It's not gonna be a good fit for me. Right. And he agreed, we both agreed on that. So that was really upsetting, just letting that go. And that kind of, I remember that was in 2019.
Right.
I felt really depressed again in 2019, because I really thought that was going to be it. Like, okay, this is going to work. Then I remember 2020, right now it's a pandemic, and I was on the phone with a really good friend of mine. Oh, in between, I should say, this friend of ours, she's kind of like, she's got these prophetic dreams. And she did tell me, she told me maybe 7 years ago, she's like, hey, she's like, Naz, okay, I had a dream about you. You had a baby. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but she's like, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but you had a baby and you were so happy. You guys were both so happy. Hmm. And so I just remember that in the background. This is the same friend who I just told her in 2020. I'm like, it's not working out for the adoption. I'm really, I have to somehow find a way to make peace with this. And I don't know how. Anyway, so she said, you know, she's like, Naz, why don't you try one more time? Just try one more time. Go to a doctor. Just find out what is it? What's going on? I should add one other journey that I discovered about endometriosis, which was that my thyroid was actually not working properly. So along the way, I did get treatment for that from Dr. Bunsick, who's in Morristown, and yeah. She really helped me out with that. So I think that really actually cleared out the endometriosis. But by the time I went to see Dr. Michael Duty, he is such an honest, amazing guy. But by the time I went to him, I had no eggs, basically. I'm like, okay, great. So endometriosis is cleared up. I feel great. Thyroid is cleared up. And now I have no eggs. So again, the crying and the grieving and everything. But then he said, I remember that session with him. It was telehealth. And I'm just sobbing through it because that's when he told me, you know, by the way, you have no viable eggs. I'm just sobbing. I'm trying not to, but I'm just sobbing through it. And then he says, he's like, look, I'm going to give you a few options. I don't want to waste your time. He just did 1 month of all the tests and ran everything and basically said, I can't help you, but you know, maybe embryo adoption is something for you. And he mentioned other things too. And I remembered my colleague and I said, okay, so maybe this is it. And I just knew, I'm like, you know what? Embryo adoption, we need to do this.
Yeah.
And that led us to NEDC.
Then we got to you guys. And from start to finish, the process was, it was so clear. And we, you know, you guys explained everything to us. Whenever we had questions, they were answered. It was as smooth as it could go from the standpoint that we just were like, from point A to point B, we knew what to expect.
It was it's so well organized. We're actually still in awe of it. And, you know, I'm not trying to like do this ad for you guys, but it's the truth. It's just the truth. We had horrible doctors and no luck with doctors in Chicago. And then we found Dr. Duty, who was just so honest. He only gave, you know, he didn't waste any of our time. And he knew it because I was 38 at the time. He's like, he ran the test like this. He was in and out 1 month. And he's like, I can't help you. Here's someone who can. And he's like, Dr. Keenan, he's a friend of mine. You should go. Yeah. Or, you know, I think he said that, right? Yeah. He's a friend of mine.
Oh, they're friends. Sure.
Yeah. But you guys, NEDC, unbelievable how organized everything was. Right. Everyone was just, it was just perfect. Everything, every department, like everyone was just in sync with each other.
Yeah, Dr. Keenan, who's the master when it comes to this area. And then you have, what was her name? Linda was the nurse?
Yes, Linda McCollum.
Linda was our protocol nurse.
Linda is like I'm a therapist, but she's like a therapist, you know?
She's the reason why we were so, we felt so calm about the process because she explained everything that we needed to do.
She's just so, and you guys have such a, like such an open heart, you know, just so like, obviously you're doing this because you guys like it. Like you love what you're doing and everyone's so invested. So it's amazing.
The embryologist was so, you know, she knows her stuff. Everybody was so, just so prepared.
Yeah.
So then,
go ahead.
Well, we were rooting for you guys. We root for everybody, you know, but there are certainly some people you form special connections with. And I think you guys were one of those couples for us, especially since you're here in town. You know, the vast majority of our families who come to the NEDC are not in the Knoxville area, but you guys were. And so therefore we saw you coming in for check-ins, you know, before and after transfer. So that helps really establish the connection. So take me through the process once you had gone through the program. You had gone through the initial appointment. One thing a lot of people wonder about is the matching process. And I guess when you guys went through, we were not doing the online matching like we're doing it now. So that's an improvement in the process. But take me through, tell folks what to expect when it comes to the matching part of the process and the actual transfer itself. And Nazi, especially like a woman who might have been in your shoes, who had extreme endometriosis and even wondered whether she'd be a candidate for embryo adoption. You had to have been at least just a little nervous going into all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Do you want
to? I mean, we were a little, we were cautious and nervous. Like we were cautiously optimistic about it. Like we weren't like, we were preparing ourselves for it not working out. But, you know, honestly, Dr. Keenan was like telling Nazli that, you know, your uterus is really good, is really healthy and it's looking really good. Everything's looking mm-hmm. great. He's like, you have a really good chance, you know? So like, I mean, getting back to like, you know, sort of the matching and everything, it was by paper, but it took us so long to, we had as much time as we needed to find those candidates. I think we had picked, I don't know how many, we had two separate donor groups, I guess. And they're separated by like some of them have like the ethnicity of the mother and the donor, you know, the donor egg donor and the sperm donor. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we did pick one that was half Indian because my wife is Indian. It just sort of worked out that way, and that was just the one that we ultimately chose. And it'll show you like the height and the weight of the donors and if they have any, like, if they have any information about any health issues and stuff. But a lot of it, you don't know everything about the picture. That's something that we were told in advance as well. Like, we knew that going into it, so.
It's a fascinating process. I love having your son on with us. He's being so good.
We had a picture of his sister as a 2-year-old that we got to see.
Yes, that was included in our in the file, in the profile.
So did that help you make your decision, seeing his genetic sister as a 2-year-old?
It really did.
You know, and we could see the similarities, especially
after he was born.
After he was born, we could see they have the same type of eyes and everything. So it was all like, and we had plenty of time to do it. So it's even easier now with online, obviously. So, it was a smooth process, I would say.
You know? Yeah, everything was really smooth. The protocol and everything now, you know, that's not fun, like having those shots, but.
Well, you get two chances with the initial cost, you get two chances. So we're ready to do at least two. We're going to give it another shot if it didn't work out.
And I love what was it? There were the videos, like we had to take, what were those?
Yeah, we had to go through like a sort of like a home study, but it was sort of geared towards embryo adoption.
Yeah. The education process,
I forget the doctor's name, but she was a psychologist.
Lauren Wilson, yes, who works with ours. She's a social worker. That's right.
Yes, she was really, she provided a lot of insights to like some of the things you have to do later on to prepare. Sort of like, you don't want to keep it a secret as to the origin, you know? So we're going to just make it as natural as possible for him. So he knows and he's comfortable. And I know that we're going to do our best to be parents. You know, that's basically all we're really focused on right now. So
what did you think when you found out you were pregnant, both of you? I mean, this has been such a long road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Linda called and I think she left me a message and I missed her call. So I'm like, oh man, I have to call her back. So I call her back, you know, and she told me, and I you know, she kind of paused for a second. Then she goes, congratulations.
Did we get the first ultrasound at Dr. Keen's office?
Yeah. The first few.
I wasn't ready to believe it until I saw the ultrasound.
And the heartbeat. Yeah.
I was like, I was like a little bit skeptical. I was like, it can't be, you know? Like, I know, like, you know, it's pretty accurate and everything, but when I saw we got this first ultrasound and you could see the heart beating, right? And as like a Christian, I'm pro-life. And so it's like, when you see the heart beating, it says a human being in there, you know? And it's like,
and that too, at 5 weeks.
And I was like,
weeks.
It's really happening. It's really happening yeah. right now, you know? It was so cool.
Yeah, that was just amazing. But when Linda called, of course, I burst into tears, of course. Yeah. I couldn't even like right. talk. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
What was the pregnancy smooth?
Oh my God. Pretty much. Yeah. Hey, you know, I thought that I would be the kind of person that would have the worst pregnancy just because, you know, I just because of my own medical history, but it was such a smooth pregnancy. I did not get sick at all. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really bonded. You could tell that they were already, Covey and Nasli are already bonded. When he was born, he was, mm-hmm. it was pretty seamless for this guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the blessings of embryo adoption. You are able to gestate the child, and that child is biologically yours. So yeah, you do establish that bond. When he was born, take me back to that day. What do you remember most about it, each of you?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, we had our Dr. O'Kelly was our obstetrician.
It was amazing. He did an amazing job.
It was a really hard delivery, actually, because it was like the epidural and everything was like, I was helping the nurse was coaching her, and we're both helping her push, and it was ongoing. It was just like a marathon, man.
It was 3 hours, but I don't really remember it being that long because, okay, the epidural worked way too well, okay?
Yeah.
It's like the greatest gift, I think, that women have been given, but it worked too well.
They had to use this little...
I couldn't feel anything.
They had to use this little vacuum thing, and the doctor's like, is it okay if we can use the vacuum? We're like, yeah, let's do it. And then he walks out.
His whole
out,
team walks
he
in.
He walks out, and like eight nurses walk in behind them, right? And then shortly thereafter, you know, Covey finally comes out, and it was like... It was like, have you ever had one of those moments where time just stops just momentarily and you're just like, and then the nurse puts that little plunger in his mouth and he like starts to breathe and he's crying. Like there's that pause, you know, and it's just like, and you're just like jumping for joy at that point. It was so amazing. Oh yeah. And then, you know, we have all these pictures. I was like taking pictures and stuff. That's pretty fun.
That was just crazy.
What do you remember about it?
I was 3 centimeters dilated that weekend.
Yeah.
And this is like Halloween. And we're like, okay, we don't want a Halloween baby. I just don't want a baby on Halloween. Hold it one more day at this point, you know?
Yeah.
But I started walking around a lot. It started getting uncomfortable, of course, but everything else was so smooth. My pregnancy was amazing. What a blessing. And just that joy of being pregnant was just incredible. It was so nice. But then, 3 centimeters dilated. And then, you know, I was at my parents' house. He was on the road working. So, you know, my parents are sitting there. We're trying to count the contractions. And then my mom's like, all right, that's it. We're going. We're just going right now. Let's call your doctor. Let's call the doctor.
I'm a truck driver. I was like 100 miles away from home at the point. And she's like panicking. And I'm
like, you were almost in Knoxville though at that point.
I was on my way back, but I was like, oh my God, I have to get back. I was like, you know, I was so glad. I called my boss and I was like, I'm leaving work now. So this is my last delivery for the day. Yeah.
So we get there and, you know, you don't know, like, okay, is this really it? Because they tell you all about false contractions. And they did check me out. I was 4 centimeters dilated. They're like, all right, we're admitting you. And then I'm having contractions and they're starting to hurt and I'm holding his hand. And I'm like, oh, it's really hurting, really hurt. So that was like, what time did we check in? Like 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock. And they're coming pretty consistently. And then by 3 a.m., they just stop.
Yeah.
They totally stopped altogether until the next day, Dr. O'Kelly's like, all right.
And they induced
you. Yeah, we're just going to have to induce you. We don't know what's going on. I mean, you could say that, but. And then that just went.
And Covey loved it in there so much, he didn't want to come out. He finally came out. Yeah,
it can be a scary world out here. Sometimes we can all probably relate to that.
We went to Park West. It was a pretty good hospital.
Nurses were amazing. They did an amazing job.
Yeah.
But when he came out, and of course I didn't see what was going on that end, but I heard him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they obviously put him in my arms and he looks right at me.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're both saying the same thing. It's like, oh, it's you. It's you. It's like, yes, no. I'm like, it's you.
You both put it so well, because I'm, you know, and I remember back now more than 20 years ago when both of our kids were born, and you remember that moment like you will remember few in your life. But I think the way you two summed it up, with Ben saying it's like time stands still, and Nosley saying you look into that face and you're like, it's you. You're the person I knew was coming. And this is what you look. This is what it looks like. This is what you look like. That's a great way of summing up a moment that is really very, very hard to put into words.
Yeah.
So nice work on that. I want to ask a couple more things before I let you go. I'm sure the little guy has to go to bed before too long. You know, first of all, he seems like just a great kid. Can you describe his personality before we get to a couple takeaways for other folks out there?
He's very energetic. He smiles like all the time. He's definitely smiley.
I've watched him smile. He does.
He just shows his emotions like, you know, like all babies probably do, I would imagine. Like he's able to frown, he's able to cry and laugh at the same time, which I don't know how you even do that. It's amazing to me. And he's just a sweet baby. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're lucky that we have been able to schedule our work around so we haven't had to put him in childcare, which I feel fortunate. You know, and that maybe that's contributed somewhat to his, I feel like he's well, you know, he's like, well, what's the word I'm looking for? He's well adjusted for his age, I think, and he's progressing really well too. So we're just happy. We're happy as, we're pleased as punch about this guy.
And he looks happy. I can tell he's happy in your house. Is there anything you'd want to add to that, Nosley?
Just super active. And I knew it because the way he was kicking around. But it's like what you see going on here, like, you know, the kicking he's doing right now. That's I'm like, oh, that's what you were doing inside my belly. I see.
He turned over. He flipped over on his from his front to his back yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Big moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those of you who are watching the video version of the podcast are getting an extra treat because you're looking at this this beautiful little boy. Yeah. Those of you who are listening to it, you can probably hear his gurgles and stuff, but he's very happy, man. He's just done terrific here with mom and dad. I want to get to some takeaways. You know, your story, I think, offers so much hope. And Nazi, I'll start with you. You know, this was such a hard thing to go through, the infertility for you and for Ben. And I know you're both, you know, extremely spiritually minded. I'm sure that was a huge source of support. What else would you say to someone who's in your shoes right now, who's been going through this maybe for even close to or more than a decade, and they just feel like, I don't know if this is what God has for me? What would you say to a person like that?
I think I would say that, it's such a journey, and it's, I guess he would say miracles happen. They really do happen. He's a miracle.
Yeah.
He really is a miracle child, but I feel like the journey was for something, you know, if I were to talk to myself in the past going through it. And I think about this a lot, that I like how it makes sense that it happened when it did for me, for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, and that it happened the way that it did, because it gives us this profound story. And I don't know, like, I feel very strongly about those doctors that never told us about this, you know? So I feel like it's a journey.
Yeah.
And I think it happens for a reason. Right. And it's important for us to tell our story and to share it with the world. And I do think, you shouldn't give up on it, even though there were times in my journey where I definitely did give up. I never thought, I just given up. But then so many things happen, you know, along the way. You do meet good people. You do meet doctors who are honest, who really do care about the work and about helping people.
Has it, you mentioned that you're a therapist. Has it made you a better therapist?
I would say yes, because I think having a child, do you mean the journey or just having a child?
Well, I guess both. Certainly the journey, I guess I was asking about first, but having a child as well.
Yeah, it changes your whole perspective for sure on the outlook and the perspective and the hope, you know. Because I don't know if this is I don't know how I was going to get past that grief of not having a child. That's just a sad truth. When I think back to it, I think I always would have struggled. And, you know, so again, such an enormous blessing. But right. I think we are going to be better parents because of the difficult time that we had. You know, that's why, you know, I'm working part-time now so that I can be with him, so I can enjoy every moment as much as I can with him.
Right.
So yeah, so, you know, it does, the people that have had a tough time, when you do finally become a parent, it's like, you feel that blessing like three times as much as the average person, you know?
Mm. Yes, very, very well said. And Ben, I want to ask you too. I know a lot of times for the guys, and by the way, we don't talk to the men as often in these situations, or we don't hear from them because men just don't share as much generally. That's just generally not how it goes for whatever reason. But I think sometimes, just from the many years now that I've been doing it, what I've seen is that the men sometimes can carry a much larger burden than people think, because not only are you wrestling with the grief of potentially not being able to have a child, but you also feel like there's this other person who would be the carrier of the child, and you feel like you have to try to bear her emotional capacity as well. And I guess maybe I'm not putting that into the best words. That's the best I can do right now, but it can really test your load bearing capacity as a man too. What would you say to other guys out there who are also going through this, trying to stay strong, trying to look out for not only their own health and well-being and perspective, but that of their wives?
Like, all I can say is you just have to, like, I feel like you need to just surrender your desires to the Lord and just, you know, you can't be in control of everything in your life. It's not your fault. It's not your wife's fault that you're having issues with fertility. God has a plan for everybody. And just like Nasli said, you know, it was the right time. And we heard about this through word of mouth. So, like, I feel like the one gripe I have about doctors is that we should have heard about you guys from them. Mm-hmm. Like, in Chicago, like, you know, a decade ago, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not saying, like, I would have loved to have had done this a decade ago because I'm so happy with Covey right now. But, you know, the odds are, like, lower as you get older, obviously. So I feel like they should be required to tell people about any DC or like other places that can do this for them. Cause it's like, you know, it's more affordable for people. Honestly, when it comes down, it's money. And it's just like IVF is a lot of money, you know, and it's not guaranteed either. So, I mean, other than that, you know, you just have to like, just let the macho comments roll off your shoulders as well. That's what probably like what you were alluding to. And just, after a while, you just don't even, it didn't bother me after a while because, you know, you just got to stand up for yourself and just be like, you know, be confident basically. And if you hear about NADC, you can go through this process and it's your son, it's your daughter, you know, it's, you know, on the birth certificate, it says you are the father and you're the mother. So it's like, it's been the greatest experience. I can't thank you guys enough for what God is working through y'all right now. You're creating life. That's the most amazing thing to me, right? When there's so much, you know, like the opposite of life going on in the world right now, you guys are the vanguard for life in like America, basically, so.
Well, you're so kind to say that, and you're right that is why we're all here. You alluded to that earlier in the podcast. It is, it is why we're here, to protect the sanctity and dignity of these tiniest lives. And again, anyone watching the video version can tell, with this bouncing baby boy, these are.
We have a picture of him as an embryo.
Yes. Yes.
We have a little Covey and a little embryo sized, tiny sized.
And now he is a bouncing baby boy. And
he's still tiny, but he's catching up.
just a beautiful kid. And really, just a beautiful story. So much encouragement here. Well, I really want to thank you three for setting aside the time to encourage others and share your journey. There is so much to be gleaned from it. If you're listening to this and you're a physician, yes, tell your patients about embryo adoption and perhaps the NEDC. We and embryo adoption can be an answer for a lot of people who didn't know about this potential route of hope. And if you want to find out more about the organization, you can go to embryodonation.org. Again, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.